Welcome to Embracing the Muse. I'm your host, Sally Jean Fox, the author of Meeting the Muse After Midlife. And I'm on a quest to discover and understand how we can live our richest, most meaningful, and creative lives at any age, and especially as we age. And I'll be interviewing island creatives to discover what they can share with us about the highs and lows, ups and downs, and possibilities of living and sustaining a creative life. I'm so excited today to interview one of the most contributing couples on Vashon, Terry and Jeff Fletcher. They are both creatives and both volunteers who have given so much to this island. Terry has been a professional artist most of her life, and Jeff made a post-retirement switch from a career in technology and technology consulting to producing a radio show on Voice of Vashon and doing lots of volunteering in the community. Both have been ardent supporters of Vashon Island Pet Protectors. And recently, my guest, Elaine Summers, spoke to me about how the Fletchers brought her into that organization and how much she has valued everything that they have done for VIP. So Elaine also said, you got to interview them. And I thought, absolutely, because having this combination of somebody who is a radio host, a volunteer, and then in partnership with another volunteer who's also an established professional artist, that's a great combo. So I can't wait to talk to you both. And thank you so much for coming in on a beautiful day.
Indeed.
Where being outside might be really tempting, but thank you for being in a darkened studio with me. Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit more. I first saw Terry's work and was, just gobsmacked by the beauty of the Madrona twigs that she had arranged. I think I first saw your work, Terry, at VCA, at Vashon Center for the Arts, and more recently at the hardware store, where you had this gorgeous, gorgeous hanging piece of Madrona sticks. And since being on the island, I am just a fool for Madrona. I just think it's the most beautiful wood. It has such personality. And you captured that. And I wanted to know more. I was like, who is this woman who's doing such beautiful things? But beyond that, you're an artist in many ways. And you got your training in fabric arts, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And an MFA many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been 40 years, is that?
Yeah.
40 years. And I hope you'll talk to us because you work with the Japanese resist dyeing method of Shibori, where you have been, you've had multiple installations integrating Shibori with materials such as wood and metal. And you've exhibited nationally and internationally as part of the World Shibori Network. So you're an internationally recognized artist.
I am.
Disguised. Who disguised?
There's so many of us disguised on Vashon Island.
Well, there are. I mean, I love this island. That's one of the reasons I wanted to do this show, because almost everybody has a creative pastime, something that brings them alive, that's a little bit perhaps out of the ordinary or out of the mainstream of career that they've done, although people have really creative careers as well. So you make magic out of branches, out of fabric, and I look forward to hearing more about that. And then, Jeff, I met you through Voice of Vashon.
That's right.
Where you are behind the scenes a lot, helping a lot, I can testify, because you've helped me, and you also have been on the board for years. You have been secretary and treasurer. Right now, you're on the board, and you host this wonderful music show, Boogie Back to Texas.
Boogie Back to Texas.
Yay! Well, I want to hear about that. And on top of that, you have you've volunteered. You've been on the board of the predecessor organization to Vashon Center for the Arts. And you've both been with Vashon Island Pet Protectors for how many years now?
Since 2001.
2001, going on 24. Oh my gosh. And you're still with it.
We're still with
it. And you're still helping the cats.
Yeah. And dogs.
And dogs.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All of these are such great organizations. And I think it's part of what makes Vashon work, having the kind of volunteers we have.
I think it is. And this is, I've said frequently, I believe that Vashon has to have the most nonprofits on the island per capita than any place.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
Right, right. So it's also so interesting because one of my passions is looking at how life changes as we age, in some ways that are difficult, but in some ways that are really empowering. And so that's another thing on Vashon, that I see people who are just stepping into the best stage of their life because they're volunteering, they're working creatively, they're alive in the community. So it makes, you know, the life into your 70s and 80s look pretty good sometimes. And on
yes, especially on Vashon. Yeah.
One of the things I've discovered in exploring creative living, which is the theme of the show, is that we rarely do it alone. Even though people, artists, spend a lot of time creating alone, you making some of your fabric work probably, and Jeff in the studio, those long hours preparing for your radio show, there's something about also doing it in community and in partnership that really, I think is really important and sometimes undersung because we all hear about the lone artist, you know, working alone. So I want to ask you about your creative partnership as part of what we're talking about today. So kind of a trick question, but I know you're up to it, Jeff. How would you describe Terry as an artist? And what's her superpower? What's her gift?
There's something that works inside that mind that I haven't figured out. I have no idea how it happens, but it is, it's pretty amazing. And one thing that I've noticed that, well, there are certain consistencies to her art. For example, there's an element of transparency, translucency throughout, from her Master of Fine Arts degree show to what she's doing now. And there's that element of transparency and translucency. On the other hand,
What does that mean, transparency and translucency?
So one of the things that Terry has done, and here I am talking about her work, but that's...
Oh, that's what I want okay. you to do. That's the yep. request, yeah.
Yep. Well, she layers things.
Ah. And
in some cases with the fabric, you can see through the fabric to see another layer of fabric behind it. In the paper, she has different layers. She layers paper on top of other pieces of paper and cuts holes into it, burns holes into it sometimes. So those different kinds of layers that show up, and it looks, you get 5 feet away, it looks like one thing. You get closer, whoa, I didn't see all that underneath there. Mm-hmm. And the stitching that goes into some of her more recent work as well. So all those things work together. But interestingly, how do sticks and magnets have to do with fabric? But if you looked at the wall that you were talking about and the setup that Terry had at PCA with Claire Dona, there's that transparency as well. You can see through that wall and to what's behind it. And there are different layers to the wall as well. So it's that has been consistent throughout. But what's different is Terry's one day will say, well, I'm done with that. I said, what do you mean you're done with that? This is really good work. And she said, yeah, I know, but I'm on to something else. And what's that? I don't know yet. And so the media changes over time.
That's the sign of an artist, because sometimes when you're so good at doing something and recognized for it, you know, exhibited for it, it's easy to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think that somebody who really has that artistic temperament is always looking for what's calling me next. You know, what do I see? What can I do? What do I want to try? And all. Now, this is another trick question. Where does she get stuck?
Well, I'm not, well, she gets stuck a lot. I mean, I think all artists get stuck a lot, but...
It's not a criticism. I think it's very real.
Yeah,
you know?
It is.
True, yeah.
And I think what happens is that Terry, like many artists that I know, is a problem solver. And so she'll just think of what the problem is, and she'll try a few things and then come back. I'll sometimes come into the studio and look at a piece that's on the wall, and she'll say, what do you think? And I said, well, something's missing from this negative space. And she'll say, leave the room. I don't want to hear it. Or other times she'll say, oh, okay. Yeah. But sometimes the problem solving is what's really fun about it, I think, as well.
Yeah. Now you, I could have spent the whole time on air reciting your resume. You mm-hmm. have done so much, starting with your master's degree and your doctorate in It's like related to systems thinking. What was your original doctorate in? I was so impressed.
It was in education, and it was future studies
future
in education.
Studies. Yeah.
In education.
Fascinating, fascinating. And then you worked your career in teaching and technology and technology consulting. Those are all kind of left brain occupations. Well, I would assume, no, I'm making an assumption that Terry's work is more right brain. Is that?
I think that's true.
Yeah. Has that ever been a conflict that have you seen the world in different ways, and has that been synergistic or
I think it's
challenging?
It's been synergistic, I think, for the most part. And Terry chimes in on my show sometimes, and Terry's in on the decisions that we make, life choices. For example, I've got a job offer here. Do we go or do we not go?
Uh-huh.
So we work together on that.
That sounds great. And I'm also going to make an assumption, but forgive me if this is wrong, that it's nice to have one solid breadwinner who's working for a company, institution, or has a solid consulting practice, so that as an artist, one doesn't have to be beholden to the ups and downs of the market. Is that true for you both?
It's been a real gift for me.
Yeah.
To be able to rely on Jeff's income to explore and pursue my work. To steal a line from or a title of Pete and Elaine's song, we're definitely two of the lucky ones.
Two of the lucky ones. I love that. I love that. Yeah. Did he get it right? How'd he do in describing your work?
He did it pretty well. Yeah. And it's interesting because I think one of the biggest places where our right and left brains had to struggle was when we bought our house on Vashon Island, or when we were trying to make the decision about buying it. Because Jeff had come here ahead of time, had seen some different properties on the island, and he came back and he showed me what he saw. And the one place that he really liked, he was seeing a vision much further into the future, his future's kind of perspective, about what this place could be. And when I saw it a couple of weeks later, I couldn't get my head around it. But in the end, you know, he really did have this vision that helped us create this amazing place where we now live.
Oh, great. Had you been in Texas at the time when you were, and what brought you from Texas to Vashon?
The heat.
The heat.
We actually had been coming here, well, actually to the San Juan Islands for vacations when we lived in Austin. And we realized that when we were in a position to move, that we wanted to move to the Pacific Northwest. And we liked the idea of living on an island.
Yeah, so. It sounds great. And then you met Pete and Elaine.
Yeah.
You had something to sing about.
Right.
Yeah. And you were probably retired. Were you retired from
I was editor of two technology and education magazines at the time.
Okay.
But I could do that from anywhere.
Anywhere.
And Terry, as an artist, can do what she does anywhere. So
yeah.
And it was hot, and Austin was getting way, way, way too crowded. And we said, let's go. Let's get
out of here. Great. And had you fallen in love with Madronis at that time, or was that yet to come?
I had already fallen in love with Madronis because we had been traveling up here. And,
yeah.
I've had a love affair with trees all my life. And in Texas, where we lived, in a neighborhood where there were a lot of beautiful old live oak trees, including one fabulous one right in our front yard. And so when we would come up here for vacations, I was just struck by the madrone, the beauty, the kind of sinewy lines that the branches make, and the color. And I was really smitten by it even before we moved here.
Yes. Well, I want to switch gears, and I want to ask you more about this Texas thing, because that's the heart of your radio show. But could you do the same and describe Jeff as a creative?
Jeff is, he's What I really appreciate about Jeff is he has a way of synthesizing thoughts, words, ideas, and he's a great writer and editor, and I don't let anything go out in the world until I have him look at it first. So
wonderful.
He really helps me a lot in that regard. And I've watched him in situations where he's working with a group of people and trying to get them to focus on what their ideas really are. And that's a gift that Jeff's had ever since I've known him. I think that's what probably made him such a great teacher, is that he can listen and then kind of go back over what he's hearing and help the people that he's working with make sense out of what they're really trying to say.
That is a great creative gift. And, you know, I know when I use the word creative, a lot of people instantly think artist. Mm-hmm. Some people think, oh, I'm not that, you know, because they have a different kind of work. But having been an organizational consultant and facilitator, I know. Talk about being in the moment, having to stay present and create as you go. It's like a form of improv, but maybe more rational. But it requires that same kind of creative talent, albeit in a different direction than, you know, a visual artist.
Exactly. Yeah. There's so many ways to exercise creativity.
Totally. Yeah. And I want to blow open the word so that people can see their own gifts and not force it into some image of what they think a creative could be. Did you know he was going to do a radio show when he got up here?
Actually, not when we got up here, but I encouraged him to pursue the idea of doing a show. He ended up on The Voice of Vashon as a guest of Chris Austin's. And I listened to the interview that Chris did with Jeff, and he came home and I said, you need to do a radio show. You're really good. Jeff actually has always had this fun radio voice that he'll pull out of his pocket every once in a while. And in fact, back in the day when he taught eighth grade, he taught an entire class using his radio voice. So I knew he already had that, but I just felt like he could really share some really fun knowledge about Texas music. Moving to Texas from Ohio was probably one of the best things we could have ever done. And there was so much about the culture and especially the music that has just stayed with us.
Wow. Well, I love that he does that show. And I have to admit, living in the bubble of the Northwest, particularly on Vashon, we have a certain impression of Texas that's driven by politics. And it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah.
So to have a counterpoint, because first of all, there are tons and tons of wonderful Texans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to be able to highlight what's great is really wonderful. Yeah.
And I've been asked a couple times, why don't you say something about the terrible things that are going on in Texas politics? And I said, it's all about the music. I'm not going to do that because that's my intent, is to show how broad that the music is from Texas, that it's not all country and cowboys. And that was the initial nugget for the show. It is not country and cowboys. It is everything else.
Right. And that music should have a right to be music.
Exactly.
You know, that heavens, if I have friends in Europe, and I hope that they are not condemning me.
Right.
Because of what my government is doing right now. And so I support your decision. I mean, to bring us the richness and broaden us so that we can hear Texas in different ways.
Yeah. And I think when we moved to Texas, it was in 1982. It was an entirely different time politically. So we kind of watched the politics of the state change like we're watching it change in our entire country.
Yeah.
So
I was a bureaucrat I call myself a recovering bureaucrat with the State Department of Education. And I watched our school board go from nonpartisan, thoughtful, worried about kids to where it became really a right-wing, crazy group of people. And when I went to the commissioner and told him that I had another job offer and I was thinking about taking that, he said, "It's the politics in the state board, isn't it?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, I could offer you a raise. And I said, "No, that's not it."
You're listening to Embracing the Muse, where I'm talking with Terry and Jeff Fletcher about their creative partnership. Yeah. Well, trivia question. Who came first, you or Ian Moore?
Ian came first.
Did you know him back in Austin?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how fun.
We didn't know him personally,
but we definitely knew his music. And I remember we'd already purchased the house where we now live, but we were doing a major remodel on it. So I was in my studio in Austin, and there was a public radio station, KUT, and a program called Eclecticos, and John Ailey was the person who had that show. Anyway, he was interviewing Ian. I'm in my studio, and Ian is talking about Vashon, and I'm thinking, that's where we're going to live. It's really fun.
Yeah. So have you met him? I mean, are you friends now?
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, we're so lucky.
Oh, yeah. We are.
You know, to have this kind of talent on the island. Let me ask you, Terry, the question I asked Jeff. Where does Jeff get stuck? Where's his edge as a contributor and a creative?
I think that Jeff likes to have a theme or an idea to work from. And so if he can't quite figure out what that is, that seems to be a sticking point. And I'm talking particularly about his radio show. So when he started the show, it was pretty easy to pick up themes and find music that related to a particular idea or a topic. And then as time went on, how many shows have you done?
262.
It became harder to come up with the theme. And I think what I was hoping, encouraging him to do is maybe forget about trying to create the theme anymore, but rather, and he still does this, he can't help himself, but, you know, broaden that notion of a theme. And so more recently, you know, just he's done the series of shows on Texas Music Awards. And it's brought a whole variety of musicians that he hadn't really listened to as much anymore. So I find that kind of an exciting place for him to launch and get more ideas.
Can I go back and ask, and you mentioned about Terry getting stuck.
Yes.
And one very particular instance that I remember, we were still in Austin, and Terry had been invited to do this kimono show where there were how many artists from around the world?
I don't remember. There were, you know, maybe 20 or 30.
Yeah, 20 or 30 artists from around the world who were asked to, each of them was sent all the parts to a kimono. And then they were supposed to dye it in whatever way they wanted, and then to send it back, and then the people in Japan would put it all together. So Terry got this silk, and it's hanging on a door in near our living room, into our dining room, and it hung there for weeks. And Terry got a small swatch of the silk to try to test dyeing on, and that thing hung there for a long time. And I finally said, "You know, one of these days you are going to have to dye it, aren't you?" And I think it was brewing the whole time. And but I think there was a lot of nerves and a lot of sweat that happened before she actually made the kimono happen.
Do you remember that?
I remember it distinctly. Yeah, it was this kimono that was basted together, and it was just hanging on the door, and it was haunting me. And I had this little, like Jeff said, this little remnant of silk to try to figure out what my ideas would be. And finally, you know, the deadline was coming up, and so I had to make a decision. But once I did, and I needed a conceptual idea to launch from. I just couldn't figure out what that would be. And in Austin, there is one of the largest populations of urban bats that come and roost under the Congress Avenue Bridge every year. And to watch these bats take off every evening is just this black ribbon unfolding from beneath this bridge. It's just this iconic thing about Austin. So I decided to use that as my muse and kind of create this ribbon-like pattern across the back and front of this kimono. So once I figured out what I was going to do, then it went quickly. You know, everything worked the way I had hoped. So.
Oh. Brilliant. Brilliant. Do you, as an artist, I mean, I think sometimes we have to carry certain paradoxes inside of us. And one could be wanting to create from a sense of your own inner impulse. And then there's that place of people expecting you to produce something that's good.
Yeah.
Is that a tension sometimes for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's probably a tension for a lot of artists. I think at this point in my life, though, it's less so.
Awesome.
You know, I'm going to make what I want to make, how I want to make it, when I want to make it,
and
if I want to make it.
You don't worry about, are people going to buy it? Is it going to be exhibited and things like that?
I mean, I love selling my work. Don't get me wrong. But I just have this need to make things, and I got that from my mom. Sure.
Yeah, you said she had an easel in your kitchen.
Yeah,
and you grew up with an easel in the center of your life.
That's right. Yeah. My mom, she had a full scholarship to art school, and you know, even as she raised the kids, she was always doing her artwork. And she, up until she got sick at the end of her life and died relatively quickly, but she was still doing her artwork.
Yeah. What a great environment. Not everybody gets that kind of encouragement for making. And seeing the artistic life. Yeah.
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 She always would say, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I often think the same thing. What am I going to do with all this stuff? And I said, we'll figure it out. Just keep doing it.
Right. That's the artist question. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah. You know?
I assume that you guys are in your 70s. Is that right? Do you have a vision for this stage of your life? Because I know you're spending a lot of time contributing, you know, and I don't know how many hours a week VIP takes, but I'm sure it's a substantial, and I know Voice of Ashon can take a lot of time and your art. Do you talk about it? Do you have a vision for how you want this stage of your life to be?
Well, I don't imagine ever retiring from the kind of work I do with my artwork. And with VIP, I see a time when, you know, it would be nice to step away from some of the obligations. I do spend a lot of time working with the organization, and I enjoy it, but that's a place where I could see myself stepping back.
Stepping back,
Yeah.
How about you, Jeff? Do you have a vision for the years ahead?
Well, I have nightmares, certainly. We all do.
Yeah, we do.
Because we've seen difficult times with friends and others.
Yeah.
But I guess I don't see a lot different going on in our lives in that way. So I don't have a real positive vision or a negative vision necessarily.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess I'm a little bit settled in all of that.
Well, you have some of the core components for a healthy life, a healthy aging life. You're You're creative. You contribute. You're socially engaged. And you have a piece of property. Mm-hmm. So you have to be out there and be physical, too. So all of those, and I assume you eat well, but because you're on Vashon, you know, those are the big ones. Mm-hmm. And you're hitting them all. So hopefully you will be going strong into your 90s. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, in our neighborhood where we live on the west side, we've been surrounded by people who've lived into their old age and have been active.
Right.
And so they've been our role models. Mm-hmm. I just look at them and I think, well, that's where I'm going too.
I look at those folks too. My friend Yvonne Cooperberg, who was instrumental in a couple nonprofits I was on, and I go, oh my gosh, I want that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want what you got, you know, and we can't always be that lucky, but it is a great role model to have.
You're listening to Embracing the Muse, where I'm talking with Terry and Jeff Fletcher about their creative partnership.
Last question, a little hard, but I've been thinking about the role of the artist, and I refer to you both in these times. Because like on your radio show, you said, I'm not doing politics, I'm giving people an exposure to Texas. But what do you think the role of the artist is in these times?
I think the role of the artist is really crucial in these times. Art has the capacity to convey beauty, and I think that as we are dealing with the hard, mean-spirited way that the government is going about the lives of our citizens, cutting jobs and perhaps end services, which will hurt people. It's important that we have another place to look. But it can also be a way to reach out. My sister in particular, who's also an artist, is... she's doing a series of work just calling out a lot of what she's seeing in her work. And I think that's important, too. We need to use all the tools that we have to help ourselves, help our community get through this time.
Thank you. And I'm going to hear Jeff's response, but I was also flashing on the image of your Madrona sculptures and thinking, you know, when you have reverence for Madrona, you have to have an awareness of the impact of climate change on our beautiful, beautiful trees, the sadness that brings. Yeah. And so just actually taking in a Madrona is a way of looking at life that I think is really valuable. So that's another piece of it. But Jeff,
so, well, the role of art, I think, can be multifold. Let me count the ways. One way is, as Terry alluded this already, to bring beauty and joy and in the moment at that time. When I come up here and listen to some of the songs from my show, I laugh out loud. I smile. There are times when the music brings out either memories or, boy, wasn't that a great time? And I'm almost weepy sometimes. So it really brings forth the opportunity for people to have emotions and express those emotions, which is really important for us all individually as well as a community. So I think that's really important. I value people who, using their art, can make a statement about things that are going on or not going on. And certainly I've played a lot of songs like that on my show, and different kinds of protest songs. And those are, I think that's important for people to hear as well. So it's not overtly political from me, but the music maybe, and can express a message that will resonate with people as well.
One thing I wanted to just add about the Madrona, since you brought it up, is that what inspired me working with it was that we had to take a huge, beautiful tree down on our property because it was diseased. And when the crown was laying on the ground, and this was back in 2012, maybe, I just looked at these branches and I thought, I have to do something with this beauty before me. And so, you know, I pulled them over under a tree, let them dry. And what I was doing in my work when I was cutting them and reattaching them to each other was kind of creating an afterlife for this tree that was once alive with beauty. And now I could interpret that in a new life. It's not the same. And I think that right now I'm looking at this time as a place where we have to pick up the pieces and kind of reconstruct at some point. Things are getting broken, and we need to be able to be ready to put things back together again.
Amen. That is so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So beautiful. And I'm hoping, you know, hearing both of you speak, I'm flashing on the times when there were major upheavals and revolutions going on around the world in this country, 1968, in Chile, when the revolution was there, in Europe and all. And often there would be an amazing outpouring of music.
Mm-hmm.
And creativity. Exactly. And some of the best, you know, folk music from around the world came out of struggle. Speaking personally, I think some of us are just kind of not numb, but just not sure mm-hmm. what's happening. I wonder, and I hope, that there'll be a resurgence of the music, of the songs, the art that can speak another message to us.
And I think there's a lot of that brewing. And mm-hmm. Terry's story about the Mandrona in our backyard, she didn't start using those sticks until maybe 5 years later. So,
a couple of years later. I had to figure out how to make them connect them together again. That was a little bit of a problem-solving expedition. Yeah.
But that brewed for a long time, and it brewed and brewed. And so I think there's a lot of art, a lot of music that's made that way. I read a lot about musicians who will just, they'll write part of a lyric, and then they'll go away from it, and they'll come back and say, oh, I can use that here, or it means something different now, and we can plug it in over here. So the whole artistic creative process is subconscious, certainly, a lot. And I think then it starts to erupt, and it could be that it's going to be to really erupt over time.
Yeah. I love that image because, mm-hmm. you know, in a certain way, with technology, I call this a double-click culture, mm-hmm. you know, where I want the answer, and now with ChatGPT, I can get it, you know, 15 seconds or less and all. But art and music aren't like that,
right.
you know, and this whole piece of brewing or letting something lay fallow or waiting to know what it wanted from you, mm-hmm. that's part of the creative process. And it's sort of antithetical to our double click culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're right that there are, there's a lot brewing with everyone, and it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this artistically in music and dance and theater and visual arts.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It makes me sad and at the same time curious, you mm-hmm. know, and also this is a side, but it because of the attacks on DEI, mm-hmm. I'm even more curious to find the artists who are underrepresented, mm-hmm. marginalized. Mm-hmm. It feels like I have a hunger to know about them that I wouldn't have had 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that's another piece of it, you know, uncovering.
It's mm-hmm. the silver lining, really.
Yeah, in a certain way. Yeah. Well, this has been great, but let me ask you, I said it was the last question, but I'm going to ask you one more. What did I forget to ask you? Or what lasting thing would you like to speak about that I didn't remember to slip into our interview?
You know, that's a question that when I used to interview people for jobs, I would always ask them, what question did you wish that I would have asked that I didn't ask that you could have answered? And if people couldn't answer that, I thought, boy, what's wrong with them? And now I'm stuck myself.
Yeah.
No, I think, I mean, there's, when you first asked us to come on the show, and I said, I don't know why I'm there. I'm not creative at all. I don't know anything about that.
And I immediately said, wait a minute.
Yay.
And then just pointed out all the ways that he's very creative. So,
well, you know, I wrote this book called Meeting the Muse After Midlife, and it was about creativity, meaning, and joy. And a friend of mine said to me, she was also an organizational consultant. I'd worked with her a lot. She said, oh, Sally, don't put creativity in the title. It will alienate people like me who aren't creative.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's the culture.
Right.
Yeah. You know, that we make these rules and we divide up the world. So, yay, Terry. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing the light to the conversation.
She does that so often.
So I'll ask you a last question. You know, it takes a lot to be with an organization for 24 years. Mm-hmm. What is it about helping cats and dogs or other animals if they pass through VIP that has kept you there?
Well, let me just answer that in the way that I often do at the Fur Ball, because I'm MC at the Fur Ball, which is coming up on May 17th.
You can get your tickets still?
Yes, you can get your tickets online. Go to VIP.org. Anyway, what I always say is that when people say, all VIP does is help animals, and I say what Barbara Drinkwater, the founder, always said, I have never, ever gotten a phone call from a dog or a cat. I've always gotten a phone call from a person.
Yeah.
And so VIP is so much more than helping dogs and cats in need and providing temporary home for them or so on. We do financial assistance for people with emergency vet bills. We, right here at the food bank, every month we provide free pet food, a week's worth of free pet food for close to 100 families every month. So we help people, and we help people with free spay neuter and low cost microchipping and so on. So there's a lot of things in helping people keep the animals that they love, in some cases the only thing that they have, keep them with them so they don't have to relinquish them
to us. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we having our own relationship with our pets, we understand that. And so we want to help people help their pets. It's our passion.
I get it. I worked with the English Springer Spaniel Rescue for a while, and we adopted two relinquished Springers. They weren't really rescues. They were relinquished right before the pandemic. We did not know. And, of course, nobody knew in 2019 what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. But they saved us.
Yeah.
You know, we had our little enclave where my joy boys wrecked havoc, and yet... Yet they brought so much life to us. And I think that's the kind of life that, again, it's not part of the double-click culture. Animals are messy and require care, and they're wonderful, and they rob your hearts, and they break your hearts, and all this stuff that's like, it's like art. It's messy, and we need as much of it as we can get.
Exactly.
We do. Yeah. So thank you for that contribution and all that you've done for the island for so many years. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so glad, too, to have this look at a real creative partnership.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Sally.
It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to being back soon and bringing you another conversation with an island creative who can show you how it's possible to embrace your muse and live your richest and most creative life. Till then, thanks for joining us, and thanks to Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, for hosting this show. I'm your host, Sally Fox, and I look forward to being with you soon.